In the Loop with Chris, Zach, and Alex Lupica.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to In the Loop. Just want to remind you to rate this show on iTunes and SoundCloud, and be sure to tweet us at In the Loopica. That's with two O's in the place of the U. And before we get started here, we have to tell you about Geico. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. Geico has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money. All right, here we go. Time for a podcast. And Zach, I'm sorry to be catching you at such an emotional moment. Jordy Nelson, one of your favorite players of all time, is no longer a Packer. And Jimmy Graham is.
You're putting words in my mouth there, but you're right, and it's true.
What's going through your heart and mind right now?
From a football perspective, I'd say I'm pretty happy. But personally, that's tough to swallow. I mean, Aaron and Jordy had such a nice connection. He's been there since, like, 2008. Fan favorite coming off. Two years separated from him, 14 touchdowns.
You do have a jersey.
I do have a jersey. I actually have two.
Two Jordys.
Yeah.
Kloop, unsurprised.
Three Rodgers.
I got to tell you, man, I think Jordy Nelson's one of those guys who's a little overrated. I think if you put Jordy on another team without a guy like Rodgers, he's not going to be nearly as good, and he's been trading off that for a while. So I'll be interested to see what the market looks like.
I'm not sure he doesn't retire. I mean, the information's still coming out, but...
Well, that would certainly lend itself to what I just said, right?
Right, yeah. No, I completely agree. Davante Adams... This year, I mean, they gave him 4 years, $52 million. He clearly separated himself this year as the best receiver. You could just tell that he was a better athlete, but Jordy and Aaron shared the same brain. So
lost some explosiveness on that ACL injury.
Yeah, he wasn't separating himself at all, and now you got Jimmy Graham, who that's gonna be tough to guard in the red zone.
Awfully good target.
10 touchdowns this year, all in the red zone.
You just read a tweet about Jordy and possible destination.
This isn't what we do on this
little
show.
Little speculation.
This isn't what we
it
do.
It does, Chris.
Tell him, Chris.
Jordy does feel like a guy that could end up in Foxborough, Massachusetts.
Yeah, but Woodhead's available, so we'll have to get in line.
I mean, why not have both?
You can never have too many.
Kloop, what has, and we got a lot to get to, Nate Lubick, friend of the show, Georgetown, former Georgetown B-ball, current Wolf of Wall Street, stopping by to talk NCAA tournament. Kloop, we looked up his school's performance while he was a starter at Georgetown, and Nate didn't see a Sweet 16, which was a surprise to me. He played on a two seed.
Yeah, didn't even sniff a Sweet 16.
You think on the two seed they'd be looking to get out of round one,
come out hot in the 32.
Did he get beat by Dunk City?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Dunk City was just
throwing. Six boards.
Zach has done more research for this Nate interview than anything he's ever done for the podcast, I think.
Yeah.
He really crunched the numbers.
And the Jets signed Josh McCown.
Yeah, Kloop, what else is standing out to you about NFL free agency before we move on here?
What a weird little carousel we have between Case Keenum, Teddy
Cousins.
Bridgewater and Kirk Cousins. It's like a poo-poo platter.
You got to throw Bradford in there.
And so Cousins, it looks like he's going to the Vikings, which to me is just so good for him.
Makes perfect sense.
You get to go to that team, which is ready-made, so much talent. And Cousins, I actually think, of all the guys that are available, is probably the most talented quarterback who can actually elevate a team. He's the only one capable of that, in my opinion, and the Vikings are already nasty. So that I think it makes sense for him and them.
We knew Kirk was going to demand a big number. Did we think it was going to be this big?
Well, they kept franchise tagging him. So the way that the salary cap works, now, if you franchise a guy as many times, the Redskins franchise Kirk, and then he hits the open market, it is back up the Brink truck.
And it's all guaranteed, which is rare. Yeah. The whole thing's guaranteed. Kirk's getting all that money.
I mean, if Breeze is getting $50 million for 2 years, is that correct?
Yes.
Then I think the Cousins contract makes sense in that context.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. Like, right now, the four highest paid quarterbacks are Garoppolo, Derek Carr, Cousins, and I'm forgetting who else, but I saw today that they have zero combined playoff wins. It's just like, who's the next guy?
When it comes to quarterbacks, you just have to suspend your disbelief about what a good and bad contract is.
Yes.
Like, if you want a guy, you have to give him whatever it takes to get him, and then you just let the chips fall where they may. I will say that Kirk Cousins is doing, did you hear he's doing his own Facebook reality show similar to Tom versus Time about his free agency?
Wow.
The
What's
only
his
difference
thing? Tom is extreme health. What's Kirk? Like
the only difference
intensity.
Is that no one will you care. Like no one will care, Kirk. That's the only difference.
Better chance I watch that.
Kloop, Teddy Bridgewater, headed to New Jersey. What do you think the fan base is thinking right now? Channel the Jet fan for me.
Now, is that true? Like, are you breaking that?
Zloop?
I think that they're expected to sign him.
Zloop, God, you don't send me on the pod with flimsy information.
All
I
mean, what
dude,
I,
Schefter says they expect to sign him, they're going to sign
him. All right, Kloop, expected.
What I make of all these free agent signings, for example, Richard Sherman, the Seahawks basically let him go to San Francisco. You always have to think that the team who had this guy last knows them best. So to me, if I'm a Jets fan, I'm just worried that Teddy Bridgewater's injury was so devastating that the Vikings didn't want him anymore when he looked like he was going to be the quarterback of the future. So it's a risk, but it's a lot less, you know, of an investment than if you give Kirk Cousins 100 mil.
Details on this are still unclear. He stinks, in my opinion.
Really?
Yeah, I don't want him.
You used to love him at Louisville.
Damaged goods, that's not true.
Chris?
He loved him.
I think we were all pretty much on the Bridgewater bandwagon in college. And I don't know, Kloop, even last season you were hearing about how good he looked in practice, you know, how he looked faster than ever while Case was playing well. So
I mean, they almost had to amputate his leg because he dropped back.
Yeah, they do still plan to sign him, it says,
so
along with McCown. So.
It's just, I mean, that injury is just like, if he comes back, great for him. I mean, I think for the Jets, it's like, you take a guy like Bridgewater, and then you still look to draft a quarterback or develop a new quarterback. I don't think you look at him as your quarterback of the future. You look at him as a bridge to the next guy.
And trying to beat out McCown, Zach.
Never easy.
All training camp. That's going to be a long training camp.
To put yourself in the head of a Jets fan, I already know that, because I'm around so many Jets fans, some people will just love it. They're gung-ho, we're going to win the Super Bowl. And some will hate it. Like, we are not going to win a game.
Yes.
What are we doing?
That's the mind of a Jets fan.
Yeah, it's nothing in between.
Kloop, also this weekend, big weekend for you, golf-wise, with your boy almost winning at Valspar. The putt on 17, where were you? How loud did you get?
Here's the deal. I shut it off.
Wow.
I'm sorry to admit this, but I shut it off.
That's dark.
I was watching it on my iPad, and then he didn't stick it close again, and I was just like so tired of him. Basically all day on Sunday, he was 20 feet for birdie, and he didn't convert, or even a few putts were 5 to 7 feet for birdie. He didn't convert, and
got so frustrated with Tiger's long birdie putts that
were not dropping. No, I want them to
Dude,
drop.
That birdie putt clip he missed, I forget what hole it was
and
on,
so,
he walked it in.
Yeah, no, that was on a par three. He knocked it to like 6 feet,
and
huge club twirl.
It,
yeah. Oh.
And then, so what? You just saw on Twitter that he had drained a 44.
Oh, I got a text from my buddy Tiger! Exclamation point! I'm like, there's no fucking way he made that putt. And then I turn it back on. He makes a putt, and of course, he pisses in my face on 18, and he doesn't make the putt.
We were watching. I think there was a bet. I think Cincinnati Houston was the last game on Sunday.
Correct.
And we'd kind of like tuned out of Tiger, like, but we have the two TVs, so it was on mute on the right. And I'm watching the basketball. Everybody's kind of watching the basketball. I'm just watching the ball roll, and I'm like, there's no way this is going in.
Were they overhead live, or was it – because like there's the aerial shot where you can see how far he is.
No, you were watching the ball roll from behind.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, that's going to be short. And then I was like, oh, my God, it's going in.
The celebration did not really – match the magnitude of the putt, in my opinion.
He's probably
too
shocked.
He was very calm.
And that was a 1 in 100 putt. And then he also knew that it was going to be really hard, I think, to birdie 18. But what an awesome weekend with Tiger. If you don't think Tiger's going to win again, I don't know what to tell you. Because he's going to win again.
He did. Like, whether he won last weekend or not, like, he lost by one stroke.
Did you guys see what it did to the ratings? Did you see what it did? I mean, dude, that was insane. Like, that was what he does for that sport. And we love golf regardless, all three of us. So I'm going to watch no matter what on a Sunday because it's usually pretty entertaining. But to just see the way he moves the needle, it's just undeniable.
I think, yeah, you're totally right. It's hard for a golf fan to be able to look at the sport from 30,000 feet like that. Because it's been such a joy to watch the youth movement come up right now. But for the layman, Tiger just brings like an onslaught
that,
of
that
people
tournament.
To
the Valspar rated like a U.S. Open.
Yeah,
the Valspar.
So think about what will happen if
and
he
so looking so and then looking forward to Bay Hill. I mean, Bay Hill's a place I want to say he's won 7 times at Bay Hill.
Yeah, he's
at
awfully
course.
Comfy at Arnie.
So, you know, this weekend and then the Masters, forget it. I mean, if we can get a Masters where he goes down the stretch, especially with one of these young guys, yeah, put so me down for it.
There is a lot of pushback to what you're arguing right now, in that people say competing at Valspar is nothing like competing on the weekend at a major or at Augusta.
From the perspective of nerves, I mean, yeah, look, I do think that nerves will be a factor with Tiger, because it's one thing to be in the middle of your run when you're winning major after major after major, and then it's another thing to be like, holy shit, I actually have an opportunity to get another one. And I even think you saw some nerves from him on Sunday. But he's going to be in contention. He knows that course well. I'm telling you right now, he's going to be in contention on Sunday at Augusta.
Augusta is the one place, Zach, where I buy him in a major right now, because he's so comfortable there, because that's a course that guys can get comfortable at and play a different way than they play other courses.
Yeah, I mean, to answer what you were talking about before, I think that in golf, like, he had been coming back, and he just proved that he can do it. Like, I just saw him do it. Now I know he can. Whether or not he wins the Masters, like, yeah, is Dustin Johnson going to win the Masters? I'm not sure, but I know he can, just like now we know Tiger can, in my opinion.
Tiger can now. There are just so many guys. That's why this weekend was kind of odd, right? Because, like, I don't know, a lot of the top guys didn't play great.
A lot of the guys played like shit, yeah.
Right? So it's just hard to imagine a major right now that isn't where one of those guys isn't going super low.
Right.
That's
where you could run into, like, Jason Day or Spieth or, yeah, DJ.
But importantly, he didn't win. Yes, he had an opportunity to win. But it's not like he was all over the place. He was on the fairway and he was on the green. He just didn't make putts. If he makes 2 5-foot putts on par fives, he wins that tournament. And his tee to green stuff is so consistent. And that is, we've said this before, that is just not something we've seen from Tiger the last 3 comebacks or however many it is at this point.
And if NBC only aired tee to green, you'd probably still be watching. You know?
I shut that thing off. I said, make a putt. I couldn't. I was so tired of watching 20-footers not go in.
What was your Tiger text? Or you and your Tiger fanboys must have been texting each other, tweeting each other.
I have a good friend that you guys know who literally does not respond to texts. Shout out to my man Lyman Bullard in Milton, Mass. But him and I, it's like his birthday every time Tiger play. Like, we only talk during Tiger golf. So it's very fun. It opens up this whole new friendship for
him. I do have friends that I only talk to when major, either Grand Slam tennis tournaments or major golf tournaments roll around. It's a very specific.
Or you have like your Giants guy, like Zach has his Packers guy.
Yeah.
Zach's phone shut, the battery shut up.
Yeah, Zach's phone has not stopped vibrating.
Feeling popular as shit.
That's very cool, man.
But on balance, so we started the segment. You were feeling pretty good about it. You're sad Jordy's gone.
He might be retiring, Jordy. He said he spoke to teammates.
Do you want to see him hang it up?
Of course. If you can't be in the gold and green,
does he go up in the does he go up there with Bart Starr and Brett? Does he get his own night?
Yeah.
You think so?
Does he have that kind of career?
You're going to put him next to number 4 at Lambeau?
87
in the sky.
87 is no longer available.
Give me a break
at Lambeau's act.
Dude,
I don't know.
He had 9 for 140 and a score in the Super Bowl.
Dude, if Geronimo Allison wants to wear 87 next year,
oh, Geronimo Allison fumbled because it's our season. But one last thing I'll say about this.
He's like, is it cool if I grab 87 now that you're retiring?
I'll say the one thing, last thing about the Packers. If Rodgers wasn't a part of this decision making, then they are the most lost franchise there is in sports right now.
I know.
But he didn't know that they were firing his quarterback coach this offseason.
I know that's a very personal.
Right, it's bigger.
That's a personal relationship. But if they're like, hey, Aaron, we just cut Jordy and he had no clue.
That would suck.
Because Aaron, I mean,
Aaron's
this
got
is,
a contract.
I was going to say, like, Aaron, it seems unlikely, obviously, but he could walk away.
I think it'll come out this week, his new contract.
All right, so then we're good. We're simpatico. As long as Big Mikey Mack is still the coach, he's going to be
happy. How many touchdowns is Jimmy Graham going to
have? That's what I'm saying. From Zach, it's a slam dunk from
I know,
football
from
perspective.
A football, 100%.
He's so big and good. Like, Aaron will make him
Yeah. Immortal.
Think about the window.
All in the red zone this year.
Yeah. Think about the window that Jimmy Graham presents you versus Jordy being completely blanketed and where you have to throw it.
They're going to be some Patsy Cohen like 3 weeks. And they have Devontae Adams and Randall Cobb anyway.
They're going to be very good. You just can't.
I just love Jordy.
You can't snap that collarbone again or you're going to be in trouble.
Then we're going to lose. But we have now they have Kizer, who's very good.
That's true. Kizer could be your guy.
Yep.
Hey, Kloop, we've done a bunch of pot already and we haven't touch the dog. You're a father now. People want to know how it's going.
We also haven't talked about March Madness.
Well, we're gonna with Nate.
Yeah. Well, that's why we have Lubick, Mr. March Madness. He's Mr. First Weekend.
Right.
Nobody knows more about the first weekend than Nate Lubick.
He told us that the Knicks weren't gonna take Porzingis the one time he was on.
Yeah, so let's see if he can redeem himself.
Yeah, we're gonna get John to turn around that.
I mean,
clip,
beat Florida Gulf Coast.
Actually, I think he said Moody. You know, don't the Knicks have him now?
Yeah. Backdoor. He backdoored his way into that one.
That was nice.
Classic Lubick.
To answer your question about the dog, it's going well, man. It's going pretty well. We love her. You guys have both met her.
Yeah, she's a joy. I mean, I took some Instagram stories of her and was getting a lot of feedback.
Can I tell you that's the most
dog.
That's the most eye-opening part of this is like our generation. It just illustrates how screwed we are. The people come over.
All they want to do is take pictures.
You guys aren't as bad. I don't want to call anyone else out on this.
Do it.
But Kim's sisters come over.
Name them.
And you would think.
Call some people out.
You would think that Saving Private Ryan is being filmed in my living room, the way they surround this dog
with
cameras.
That is a very interesting comparison to Sky, the golden retriever puppy. But I get what you're saying.
I mean, dude, there's vertical shots. There's portrait angles.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all about the perfect. You gotta get the tongue out.
You gotta
out.
Work with the toy.
It's crazy.
There's almost no point in having the dog unless you can take the picture of
the
dog.
You don't take a picture of the dog, you don't have the dog.
I think the same thing is happening to parenthood, Clip. You know? All people want to do is take a picture of their baby.
Well,
babies all look the same.
I will say it's concerning.
It's so dumb. I see a picture of a baby, it's like, congratulations. I don't need to see 10 pictures.
So, Clip, do you worry about, like, how Sky feels about the camera in her face all day long?
No, I don't worry about it. I just sometimes I'm like looking at the scene. And I'm also thinking like it's just an unusual scene when four or five people surround her with cameras.
Because you're also not used to having a lot of guests.
And you do have to get low to get a good picture
of
her.
You have to get on the ground.
You have to get on the ground. Lying on the floor.
Yeah.
So people are just rolling around your floor all day long, pretty much.
It's fun, though. I mean, I've actually, around the neighborhood now, it's like, I've actually made some new friends.
That is an interesting piece of this that I want to hear more about, because you're getting a lot of attention.
A family who lives below us, they have a five-year-old. His name's Bradley. I've met him before. He's a good dude. And
you're talking about a dog.
Shout out B-Rad.
Yeah. And so outside, I was talking to her. Everyone talks to me outside. Like, I've never talked to anyone and I probably talked to 20 people.
I don't think you're exaggerating when you say that you previously had not.
Never talked to anyone 100%. In the building. So they were like, how's it going? And I said, we need to get a gate for our kitchen. They said, we have a gate that we don't need anymore.
Oh
they
gosh.
Left it outside. I picked it up. I got a gate now. We're good to go.
God, that is. That is just delightful.
There's another couple that just got a husky puppy, so we're hanging out with them.
Aren't some of the boyfriends and fiancés, the male fiancés in your little neighborhood, aren't they getting worried that Sky is going to force their hand?
Yeah, one kid was like, dude, you got to get this dog out of here. Like, my girlfriend won't leave me alone about
She's
the dog
like
thing.
She's pregnant also. He's about to have a kid and have to get a dog too.
I'm like, dude, I don't know what to tell you. So, and then, as I told Alex, for every, like, 50 people see the dog. Everyone's like, oh, she's very cute, blah, blah, blah. Nice conversation. Then you get the one who's like, hey, man, you need some training advice? And I'm like, yeah, no, not really. They're like, you gotta, this is the most important stuff. And come on up. And it's like the hardo guy.
Get the hardos.
It's like the guy at the gym who wants to tell you that your lifting form is slightly off.
I'm
like,
sure people do that with kids, too.
Like, I'm walking my dog, dude. I don't need an infomercial on teething.
Like,
you know, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you watch out for the pesticides.
Or like, I'm like, yeah, you know, she's actually sleeping through the night. They're like, yeah, dude, I mean, for now. You have no clue
you're like,
what
yeah,
you're
this
in
thing
for.
Will be,
do you like your
this
shoes?
Thing will be dead
do you
in a
like
week,
your
dude,
shoes, bro? Because see you later.
Yeah, dude, you have no idea, okay? Been through the ringer on this one.
No,
okay?
Had a golden name, Sky.
Yeah, so.
You don't know, I know.
I know.
And Alex
and
was there.
I know you don't know.
And one guy's like, what's up with her vaccination? I'm like, she's vaccinated. And he's like, I'm not trying to be that guy.
I vaccinate her right here now.
I'm like, do you have a syringe? cringe. You want to help me out? So those people are very annoying. Everyone else is super nice. And it's been great. It's a lot of fun, a lot of responsibility.
It would be pandemonium in Lower Manhattan if you had that dog out.
Well, you've made the point that you need to get one so you can, you know, bring it around in the spring, get some attention on yourself.
If you want attention, a golden retriever puppy is a very, very quick way to get it.
You
bring her here.
Yeah, I'm not getting. Yeah, Alex, you want a golden retriever, get your own.
Sky's not allowed in the concrete jungle. She would not fare well.
We know A and B. We didn't make you put
I'm not talking about caring for this. I'm talking about Clute bringing it in for an afternoon. Maybe we take it to the park and then we bring it back to ride.
Not happening. So Alex was very good with her, though. You carried her, you took her outside. We took her to the Chinese restaurant to get some sesame chicken.
That's right. She loves the sesame chicken.
Yeah, she's a big fan of her uncle's.
And she's been sleeping through the night. No, like, barking in the middle of the night.
That's honestly been the, like, knock on wood, the best part is
Just wait, bro.
Yeah, just wait, dude.
I'm on Google, and man, they say that she starts to bark.
She is going to be mauling your leg at midnight.
How old is she? 6 weeks? Wait for 8, bro.
Yeah, so she has been sleeping through the night. I mean, she chews a lot, and, you know, it's a lot of work, but it's a good time.
So we have play-in tonight.
Yeah, UCLA will beat St. Bonaventure's tonight.
There
you go.
Thursday, the full slate.
Yeah.
Clube, what is your rig at work? Do you have two screens going? Do you have a TV on? What's your setup?
I'll be working on, you know, I got a monitor.
You'll be
so
at home.
I'll be fine.
I'm not worried about you.
I do just want to say, I guess, before we talk to Nate.
Yep.
Zach, do you want to touch briefly on some of our chafes pre-tournament and, like, some of the things we don't like?
Yeah,
it's an abomination, yeah.
What, the whole thing?
The whole thing's a piece of shit.
Well, I think, like, Nate will probably agree with that, so.
Part of me thinks, like, we're wasting our time with this because it's not like the college football Final Four where...
I know.
Where it, like, it totally makes a difference on who wins and loses the championship, but it's so unfair sometimes. Like, a team like Syracuse... How do they get in? How do they manage to get in every single year?
Because they sell tickets. It's the only reason,
But, Zach, that's what I find so disturbing about this, is because the tail end of the tournament, like the last 15 teams who get in, the committee is making that decision with an eye on
100%
on empty gyms that they don't want and bad TV ratings. And, like, for a team like St. Mary's or whatever, for a team that doesn't always have a chance like Syracuse does, like, that sucks. That's their whole season. Dude, so I was bummed that Syracuse had no business in this tournament.
Somebody on Twitter was saying it's 100% true, and I forget who it is, so sorry I'm not sourcing you. But if you put the Syracuse name on St. Mary's, or you put the Syracuse name on Middle Tennessee State,
no question,
and you switch them and you put their name on Syracuse, it's not even a question.
They've got Boeheim against Hurley tonight. Yeah. And those are two teams that just finished the season. They could not have finished the season looking worse, Arizona State and Syracuse. And it's Bobby Hurley and it's Jim Boeheim, and they need to get some eyeballs on these play-in games. And it's as simple as that. And then there's, you know, do we even get into West Virginia? Do we even get into Wichita State? How do they do it every year, Zach?
Kentucky
And Arizona. Like, if you're telling me that Wichita State and West Virginia should be playing each other in the second round when West Virginia was a 2-point favorite on a neutral court against Kansas 3 days ago, we just disagree. Like, I just don't,
and
I can't
understand.
It's the
same with Arizona and Kentucky. That, if Arizona and Kentucky could be playing each other in the sixth game,
they can basically control, like, to an extent.
That is,
they can basically control who plays in the third.
And that is what makes it frustrating.
So they're
yes.
just trying to, like, inevitably the Sweet 16, just by virtue of being the Sweet 16, is an interesting game. So if you can manipulate the 32 to the point where you get a good matchup, that, you know, that's their whole goal.
Right. You get Arizona.
You get Arizona,
you
Kentucky,
get Arizona
in the 32.
Kentucky, you're guaranteeing that you have a big game on Saturday night, and you're guaranteeing that one of them is going to the next round.
Yes.
And you have, like, the same thing that I'm talking about. You have West Virginia playing Wichita State, two great programs, two great coaches, and the winner's going to play Villanova. Virginia.
It's Villanova.
It's Villanova. In all likelihood, they will play Villanova. So,
and it's Virginia on the other side. And Virginia gets the number one overall seed, and the reward is to get either Arizona or Kentucky in the Sweet 16 in a game where they're going to be, like, 2-point favorites.
We're about to talk to a guy who ran to the buzzsaw that was Dunk City in the second round. So,
and I got to tell you guys, I'm so excited to ask Lubick about this, about what's going on in Virginia. I need someone to explain it to me. How does it work?
What, their brand?
They went 20-1 in the ACC, Alex, well, with guys like that played.
Chris, we saw them this week. Zach and I went down to Barclays.
Someone's got to explain this to me. What is he doing that no one else knows how to do on defense?
They're going to lose, Zach, dude. They're going to lose.
Fine.
They swarm.
They suck.
They play such hard defense, Chris. They just, I don't know what they do. Yeah, you're right. We're going to have to ask Nate.
I can't wait.
The way they trap and shift and force you to throw bad passes and get in the lanes and then finish in transition is crazy. And then all they need is guy offensively, it seems like.
The way that they execute, first of all, their defense is incredible. But the way that they execute under 10 seconds in the shot clock, because basically every Virginia possession comes down to like, all right, now we need to start playing offense with 10 seconds left in the shot clock. And you can hate it, man. You can hate the way it looks. You can hate the way it is out there. But man, is he successful. Whatever
he's successful. And apparently just a great guy. Everyone has such nice things to say about him.
Well, for the longest time, you're thinking, where's he going to go? Like, what's he going to use, leverage his success at Virginia?
His success and his looks.
But now it's like, why would he ever leave Virginia? Virginia is a powerhouse.
They're a powerhouse now. Yes, they're a blue chip program now.
It's hard to win six in a row like that, though.
Very. Duke and UNC, a little underwhelming for us, I think.
Yeah.
Grayson did not play
UNC
well.
UNC looked good.
Grayson, Chris, the way he demands booze wherever he goes.
It's awesome.
Not surprising that in an atmosphere like at Barclays, he's going to get booed, but it is, it's like, it's Redick. It's crazy how much hate he has managed to accumulate.
Well, it's because of the dirty stuff too, but his face.
And he had another play that game.
I didn't understand.
That was hard to see in real time, but he definitely likes.
You see guys do that all the time.
Chris?
Yeah,
he's brought a lot on himself.
A lot of it, the difference between he and Redick is Redick didn't really, he wasn't as much of an asshole. Grayson, like physically, he messes with people, he trips people, he stuck the ass out. I mean, I get why people hate him, but he's just the next Leitner, Redick, white guy on Duke that everybody hates.
His face is so bad, man. Like, I think that's such a big part of it. You switch their faces, Redick's a much more likable looking dude. And Redick was also scoring 30 points a game.
Redick, by the way, they showed us a stat on this. Grayson Allen passed so-and-so on the all-time three-point shooting list at Duke, and he's still like 500 short of Redick.
Redick led the nation in scoring. Yeah.
Well, that was one of the all-time great years of college hoop when it was just him and the mustache Adam Morrison going back and forth.
Just one of my favorite years ever. He went on to have a really good NBA career, Chris.
You're not talking about Morrison.
No, I'm not talking about Adam, who definitely went on to have a really good cigarette-smoking career somewhere.
The new Marlboro man.
Yeah. I don't know what happened to Adam Morrison.
The only guy to be doing heater ads while he played for the Bobcats.
I think I've actually heard a firsthand story about someone seeing. I'm not making the cigarette.
No, it's true.
But I think it's fair to say that Redick far exceeded many of the pundits' expectations of him coming out of college.
For long, sure. Successful career and made a shitload of money.
He's still balling.
He's still playing. And he's a huge foodie. He's great on social media.
He's on the
media.
Sixers now. He's good.
All right, now we're losing steam. Okay. We got to get Lubick in here.
All right, Nate Lubick coming up. All right, very pleased to welcome Nate Lubick back to the program. Zach, Nate is the one person I know who still holds down a doorbell for like 20 seconds at an apartment.
Yeah, I've only heard it like a couple other times. It's always him.
Presence known.
And you do it every time. You as long as I've known you.
Do you do that everywhere you go?
Yeah, you should hear me knock on a door. It's even worse.
I mean, it is just really obnoxious, Chris, and I think kind of telling.
I like the fact that he owns it, though, and it's kind of his thing.
Yes.
That works.
And, in studio appearance, we have Hitch on the TV, so...
Al Brenneman.
What more could you ask for? We really accommodate, don't we?
You sure do. Give me a LaCroix, would you?
This guy... You're...
God, he's comfortable in studio.
You should see him, dude. He's sprawled.
Yeah, pants are off, LaCroix in his hand.
Open collar suit look. Yeah, you are so Wall Street right now.
Yeah.
And he brought a paper bracket over, but he lost it already.
Very quickly, and he's only been sitting one place.
Yeah, I'm freaking out, too.
Yeah, he's worried.
Kloop, do you still fill it out on a piece of paper?
No, I did. I messed around with it. I suck so bad at the bracket. I've never even come close to winning, but I just do it. I do it on the internet now.
How good are you traditionally? Have you had years where you've won a pool? I mean, you probably weren't supposed to fill out brackets for
a while. I never did it when I was in school. My first year out of school, I won company one, which was really nice.
Yeah, that's usually nice.
Yeah, like big one.
Okay, guy.
I mean, give us a number.
I gotta be honest. That's not the answer I was expecting.
I was the
first year. I just kind of
people must have been honestly,
I was
Nate. People
like the, no, I never win, even though I played. Like I never really get it right.
I got two wrong.
Yeah, no, got right out of school, flushed a UBS.
Yeah, people must have been angry. Like, yeah, this fucking guy. Like, he comes in off Georgetown's basketball team, wins the bracket.
I was the only guy who had Wisconsin. I had Wisconsin the year that they went very far.
Been with Frank the Tank.
Oh yeah. With Frank the Tank and Sammy Decker. But since then, I think I've come in last in every bracket I've ever done. I'm actually atrocious.
One win, though, is like that carries you.
Yeah, but I hedged it out, though. I hedged it out. I think it was Kentucky. I hedged it out, and it didn't end up being all that awesome.
How hot a commodity are you on the trading floor, like tourney time? Do people that don't ordinarily stop by your desk like start stopping by?
Definitely, yeah. And they shouldn't, because I have no idea what I'm
similar doing. To what we're doing.
Yeah, that's exactly. We're doing it in podcast.
Right.
Yeah.
It's my second one today.
So Zloop has been...
He's on fire, Zloop.
He's been saving that.
Zach has been digging into your college basketball history.
Okay.
And he was underwhelmed by Georgetown's performance in the tourney the 4 years,
I kind of
years you're there.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people share that feeling.
what happened in those 32 games? I mean, you thought you would have seen a Sweet 16, some of the teams you played on.
32 game, we only got there once.
What a joy it was.
One win was against Belmont.
Only collegiate NCAA tournament win against Belmont.
Yeah, but you kicked their ass.
Yep.
There you go.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a different time of year. I mean, I know it sounds redundant, but really anything can happen. I mean, if you think about it, like the two teams that we did lose to in the first round were VCU when they made the Final Four.
Yeah.
So caught the wrong one at that time. And then Florida Gulf Coast, who kind of did the unimaginable. And you catch two teams who win their conference tournament and are doing really well and playing really well, and just everything just collapses. I'm still convinced that we would have been an Elite Eight team.
How different is it, like, because you're playing at Georgetown, you're playing in a really good conference, you're playing the same teams for what, basically 2 months, right? And then what is the adjustment like, and is there do teams take other teams for granted that come from lesser conferences when you've been playing Big East ball I think you were in the Big East your whole career. Yeah. So when you've been playing in the Big East and you know, is it easy to like take a team lightly when you're coming off of a stretch of playing all those teams in a row?
Yeah, it really is. And it's, you kind of get into the groove, especially coming off a conference tournament. And as you said, like a 2 month stretch where you're kind of playing the same teams twice, a lot of these conferences kind of have all these teams that almost they play the same. So the preparation for like a one and done tournament game, a one time opponent, is very, very hard. And when you play a team that's coming from maybe not a major conference or who's a lower seed, they just play such a bizarre style and they have nothing to lose. And sometimes it's just so hard to not look ahead at your road to get to the Final Four or your road to get to the Elite Eight, that you just get caught up and you catch a team at the wrong time and they just, they have a really unbelievable performance.
How much preparation is, like, what's the preparation? Like, you find out on Sunday, you're playing a team on Thursday, like, how much do you really get to study that team, or is it just, are you just really trying to focus on your own situation?
Yeah, you know what? That's another thing that I think really, like, almost messes up, high major players, is that they're so used to having, like, 1 day of preparation or 2 days of preparation. So, I think most schools do it where, with 2 days of preparation before a conference game, you'll basically, watch one part of the film on 2 days out and watch the next part of the film 1 day out, and then you're in there playing against the team. But when you have those 4 or 5 days, there's so much angst, there's so much anticipation of where you're going, who you're playing, who you're matched up against, if you win the game, that it just gets all boggled up and so many things kind of just lose their way.
So you guys were a 2 seed once.
Yeah.
Right? Were you almost a 1 seed or not really?
No. 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 We were not, no.
Did you think, like, did it cross your mind that year that you could win it all? Like, you said Elite Eight, but did you guys ever talk about it? Did you ever think to yourself, like, this team, we could go on a run and win it?
Yeah, you always think that. We were really, really good.
You were,
and
good.
We had
yeah.
a we
you had an auto, right?
Right. You know, we were sitting somewhere between 5th in the nation and like 12th in the nation
all
for
year.
The majority of the year, and we had we were very, very good. You know, we were in conference, which is where we were always really good. You know, we beat everyone. We won the conference that year, and that Florida Gulf Coast team just like was the storybook. You know, they had this ridiculous brand of basketball where they were run and gun, and it was just like the complete opposite of a Big East, a slow paced, you know, grinded out, rugged beast. Yeah. Big East. Yeah, it was a little different than playing Pitt. And they just shoved it down our throats. I mean, they ran all over us. They didn't miss. They were. It was something I'll never forget. Obviously,
Nate, you just talked about styles a little bit. So we talked about this before you rolled into the studio and grabbed the LaCroix.
Cran Raz.
I wanted to just ask you, as somebody who knows hoops and who played college hoops, like, can you explain it to those of us who don't quite understand how Virginia is able to do what they do so successfully? Like, it's pace, but how is it that like they understand how to play defense at a higher level by far than anyone else in the country with, granted, not exactly 5-star guys at every position?
Yeah, I mean, it is truly unbelievable what he's done there. You know, you hear everybody talk about this pack line defense that he actually, his dad is kind of the one who started it. But
what the hell is it?
It's basically they're going to make you beat them on tough contested jump shots.
But if it's that easy, then everyone would do it, is what I'm getting at.
Like, right.
If everyone could play the pack
that
line,
just sounds like the general goal.
I'm trying to understand what makes them so special at it.
What makes them so special at it is that he understands exactly who he needs to get in his recruiting. He doesn't, you know, you don't see them coming up in, you know, 5-star recruiting conversations and getting all these high level kids coming out of school. He goes and gets the kids who he knows are going to be able to adapt to his system, especially defensively, day one. He gets versatile athletes. They can always switch. You know, 2 through 5, they can switch. They always have a bunch of 6'8", 6'7", athletic, long guys who can move their feet, who can guard a big guy down low. It makes it really, really easy for them to switch everything and play different styles of defense. They're always so versatile on defense. So, you know, they always have one guy who just pressures the absolute hell out of the ball, causing mayhem for other teams to get into their stuff. And the rest of it is just guys who kind of almost look the same dimensionally and can.
And then I was talking about before, just like the pressure of executing. They basically execute their offense at all times beneath 10 seconds. So they are able to execute offense after just running 20 seconds off the clock. And that obviously is a high degree of difficulty.
Yeah, they're a little different this year. I mean, he's definitely, you know, listened to that criticism and especially seen how they've struggled a little bit in the tournament the last couple of years because of their inability to score. They play a little more freely this year, and you can tell that he's really opened it up. You know, they have Kyle Guy and even the kid Ty Jerome, who's a local kid. He's letting him play. You know, those are two kids who can really get their own shot, and you know, historically it's been grind it out, some type of very strict, regimented offense that, yeah, they're taking all their shots at the end of the shot clock. And while that still may be the case, there's a lot more free flow and freedom in that offense. And I think that's what makes them extremely, extremely dangerous this year.
And that's what makes them so different, right? Like, you can't win 6 tournament games in a row coming down to the last 10 seconds of the shot clock and trying to make a long jumper.
Yeah, they haven't had that guy in the past couple of years. And they also, I mean, from what it looks like, haven't had what seems to be the ability to do that based on the way that he's coached the offense.
So the South is the buzzsaw, Zaloop.
That's the top left.
Yeah, it's the upper left with Virginia.
Yeah, Virginia gets the number one overall seed and then gets Arizona or Kentucky in the Sweet 16.
Nate,
congratulations.
Kentucky and Zona as a 32.
Wow, you guys are giving up on Davidson that early, huh?
Wow.
Kentucky's never been upset in the tournament under Calipari.
Yeah.
So I'll believe that when I see it.
Yes.
I know.
But still, like, how ridiculous is that for both? How unhappy are you at either of those schools that you've drawn that. I mean, a second round game like that.
Oh, it's awesome. And if you guys have some theory about about TV being behind all these seedings, then Sean Miller versus Calipari is going to be about as good as it gets.
Yeah, that just came out of thin air. See how that works.
It's that I'm just looking at this bracket now. Like the South, I could see five different teams coming out.
If Kentucky, I'd rather be Missouri, where Missouri is in the 8-9. You get to play Xavier in the second round instead of playing Zona.
It's really tough. And yeah, go ahead. What were you gonna say?
Yeah,
Chris, we were just showing Nate the video of Danny Hurley reacting to Bobby Hurley getting into the tournament. Nate, you know Danny, Rhode Island 7-10 game. Have to play Duke in the second round. Is Rhode Island a potential Sweet 16 team? I know you're biased.
I'm very biased, but they're a really good team. I mean, they were beating Oregon for the entire game last year in the first round, and I mean that was
I remember that game.
Yeah, it was a great game. They were up like almost double digits for the majority of the game. I think they are. You know, they have really really good guards. They can score. They really defend. I like them against Oklahoma. The problem with Duke is just enormous. You know, they have a huge front court, and Rhode Island's front court is they're good. They're very solid, and they're tough, but you can't really teach being 7 foot.
And they have so many of them. Like somebody gets in foul trouble, and they bring in another guy, Duke, who's just as big.
Unfortunately, Rhode Island's weaknesses are Duke's strengths, and that doesn't really bode well for them.
Nate. Can you talk a little bit about, like, we were talking before about the difference between playing in the Big East and then playing in the tournament. I think mentally, I'm just wondering, is it different? I mean, these gyms are somewhat empty. Like, what is the experience like to go from playing all your games in a packed house and then you're going to the tournament, you're playing a team out of conference, and you're playing in an empty gym? Like, does that play into things? Is it hard to get going in that atmosphere?
Yeah, you know, I mean, a lot of that depends on what your fan base is like, how well they travel, where you're playing, and
right, exactly.
In regards to the location of your school. But yeah, it's different. I mean, I always described it to people as like it always seemed like it was the first game of the season. Like, no matter what, you get those weird jitters. Like, you get really, really tired, really
and
quickly.
a weird start time almost always, right?
Yeah,
like you're playing at 4 o'clock in the
you're
afternoon.
Playing just like 20 minutes after the last game, which is so unusual too.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, you're waiting for another game to finish, or you know, there's all types of weird media stuff you got to do before it. There, you know, the NCAA drug tests before games. Like, there's all sorts of things that put tournament games on a totally different spectrum.
Where was the game when you guys lost to Dunk City?
Philly.
Did you guys have a good crowd for that?
We did. Yeah, that was probably.
Georgetown always travels.
Yeah, Georgetown travels well. Yeah.
They travel pretty well. I mean, Philly's so close. There are a lot of East Coasters just came to the game.
So it seems like down in that Midwest, also like a lot of people are picking Michigan State, right?
Michigan State Duke's a really good Sweet 16 game.
Is awesome. That just a product of, like, when it's wide open, everyone thinks Izzo has a shot?
For
like,
sure.
If it's a wide open year where there's no clear front runner, everyone
Why wouldn't
thinks,
you?
No, why? Yeah, because he puts him in position most of those times. But this seems like one of those years, right?
Izzo in March, yeah. I mean, the guy is just a wizard. It's hard to pick. Hard to pick against them. I mean, that Duke-Michigan State Sweet 16 matchup is
That's
just
good.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Kloop, anything else you want to ask Nate about in the bracket?
Really? Oh, no. I was just going to ask Nate how to fix the NCAA.
In general?
Done. Yeah. Yeah. Do you have that? Because, I mean,
that's a bigger question.
Give us tie that in a bow.
40 seconds, you know, 40 seconds or less, just fix the NCAA, and then we can get you out of here. I'm fine with that.
Fixing the NCAA, I really think about it a lot. I do not have a great answer for that. I think the first thing that needs to happen is that the 19 and 1 year in college rule has to go. I mean, I don't think that that's going to be some monumental fix, but look, there are kids who aren't meant to go to college. There are kids who aren't meant to go to the NBA, but you have to give them the freedom to choose that, you know, like, like a kid like Ben Simmons, like he had no interest in being yeah. in being in college,
and that was
right?
very obvious.
Right, it was very obvious, and that has nothing against Ben Simmons, but like he was a professional. He knew that he was supposed to be a professional basketball player. He knew that he wasn't going there to get a degree, and it to some yeah. extent, it's wasting people's time, and it's unfair to the teammates, it's unfair to the school, it's unfair to the coach, and is it allowing us to get a lot of players into the college game that we probably wouldn't have 15, 20 years ago? Yeah, and it's great to get them for a year. But at the same time, there's a decent percentage of these kids who just have no business being in college. And
would you subscribe then to the theory that if you allow kids to go straight to the league, would you say that then you'd have to set a time limit for how long you'd have to stay if you do decide to go to college?
Yeah. I don't know. I think at some point it's just wrong. I think that you can't prevent kids from going and earning a living. I really don't think that you can put any timetable on that. I think that becomes too risky. I think, you know, the kids do need to get compensated in some form, right? I mean, these schools and the amount of money that's coming out from these conferences and these TV deals, it's obviously massive and it's really only going to go up from here. It's only going to become a larger number that's got to get distributed. But at the same time, you know, when you get into the business of valuing players, that's when I, in my opinion, like all amateur status is forgiven. You know, if the Alabama football player who's generating revenue for his school is making 10 grand a month and the basketball player who's the seventh man at Jacksonville State is making 300 bucks a month, that's when I don't agree with that stuff. I think that being in that business is foregoing any amateur status of being a college athlete. That being said, if everybody who's playing a revenue generating sport is getting $400 stipend every month, I think that that's probably something they need to look into.
Do you think the conversation is reaching like a boil? It's something we talk about like every year since I've known you, but it really feels like this year with all the revelations that it really is kind of reaching a breaking point if there ever could be one.
Yeah, and I think like the same thing. Like, I don't think the one and done rule fixes all the problems that we have with like the grassroots shoe company and agent involvement. I don't think that fixes. I don't think paying kids a little bit of money or via stipend for the revenue sharing profits of the leagues and stuff, I don't think that fixes it. But it has gotten to be too much. I mean, the fact that these institutions are making all of this money and, you know, selling kids' jerseys on the NCAA website, like things like that, it's just looking back at how long this has been going on and how long people have been so against kids not getting paid is just wrong. So, yeah, I do think we've reached a boiling point. And unfortunately, I think it had to come at the expense of all this stuff that's happened with the NCAA.
This is coming from a guy who sold a lot of jerseys, Zach.
Yeah.
There were a lot of 32s. Were there? Did you see Lubick's?
Well, I was 34.
34.
Yeah, that was
there were definitely a lot
exactly
of Jeff Green 32.
Jeff Green was 32. I get you.
What about the St. Mark's retro?
You guys were both very good.
Those are actually up on Alibaba right now.
Can we do, do you have a Final Four and a champion?
Let's do a little prediction.
Man, I don't have a great... I'm a little boring this year.
It's
chalk?
I got some...
I had to fill out a bracket with paper and I threw it out. I was disgusted with myself.
Wow.
I have a lot of...
Zach, did you put the Cats in? Did you put Kentucky in?
No, I had Arizona like going the whole way.
I feel like Zach has put Kentucky in for probably the last five years.
Seed Kentucky, Zach has got to have
that. That was the only time I won is when they made the championship when they were an 8 seed.
Ride the Cats.
I mean, they are playing really well. I mean, they had a great week.
That's going to be an unbelievable game.
And
Saturday
I feel
night.
Like he really likes when they are overlooked. When they're kind of like a 20 to 25 in the AP.
Yeah,
in
the
tournament,
to the
5
Elite
seed, 6 seed
year.
With good kids that didn't quite mesh till the end.
But that was just the, wasn't that just the 8 seed Julius Randle year, though?
Yeah, exactly.
They're always like
that's my favorite UK team.
Yeah, they were great. I have Arizona, North Carolina, Villanova, and Kansas, which is a little banana.
And then
a little banana.
All schools
I
you
see
like
a big
that,
Jayhawk
right?
on your screen.
And I have the Kansas Jayhawks winning.
Wow.
I like Kansas, too.
That surprises me.
That kid, Devontae Graham, is just
Yeah.
Fearless.
Yeah.
He's just, he just seems like he's ready for the.
I'm just worried that Big Boy is going to miss some, a lot of free throws.
Yeah, he sure is.
Penn is going to put him on the line a lot, I think, on Thursday. Penn's run the numbers, and they're like, we could just foul him, and it's 52%.
Have you watched any Penn? The Quakers are dangerous.
Somebody
is there
I saw
reason
saw,
to worry
oh,
in
stop.
Round
stop.
One?
I saw
best
stop.
16 seed ever.
Stop with this bullshit with, oh, the Quakers are going to get run out of the gym by
I'm
Kansas.
Glad I was reminded, because I know you've seen them play this year.
I have watched Quaker basketball.
That was like,
and they have watched the Ivy League finals against Harvard. They look tremendous.
Clip. I don't know.
Yeah, they're going to get smoked.
I mean, their offense is a science experiment.
Those games are all just about like, if they are up by like six early or something like that, or Kansas goes up 25 and the game's over.
Let's be clear. There's zero shot that zero. Penn beats Kansas.
Yeah, isn't it amazing that it has never happened?
It's 15 seeds, only won seven times.
It is like, how many things in sports can you say that about that have like a 16 has never done it, and it happens four times every year, right?
Yeah, it's very. Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
It will happen eventually. It has.
It has to, right? Yeah. Wait, 15 twos only happened seven times.
Yeah.
Can we name them?
No, but I
Georgetown, Florida, Gulf Coast.
I was doing my research. I said,
"Thanks, Chris."
I actually, you want to hear something crazy? Is I had
Bucknell.
I had
Bucknell, Syracuse,
an Iowa State team with Marcus Pfizer.
Yes.
Oh, they lost to Hampton.
Hampton.
Yes. Yeah.
And Jamal Tinsley.
Was Vermont? No, Vermont was a.
I think you might be right.
No, I think they were 14 when they beat Syracuse.
That was in Worcester. I was at the game.
14 from the parking lot.
Taylor Coppenrath on that team.
Oh, wow. Oh my goodness. Who was their coach?
Brennan, the guy from ESPN. Brennan. Yeah, from ESPN.
That's a good call.
What have you seen Jay 22 hours awake?
Yeah, Billis
for
is
ESPN?
Doing the thing where he like sleeps in the
studio.
They
have a Truman Show thing going on with Billis in his studio awake for 22 hours of the day. He's got a cot.
He has truly lost his mind. I mean, he is the world's greatest, but the 94 feet and the...
I love 94 feet. Oh, just a nice walk. They take a nice stroll.
Do you have an upset pick? A first round team that you can give...
Other than Penn.
You can give the
listeners. Which is... Put it in the bank.
And I had Florida Gulf Coast to beat you guys in my bracket that year.
That's great.
You've been waiting 20 minutes to unleash that.
You guys step all over me. Lock.
Lock of the century upset. Yeah. First round.
Everyone.
Take it to the bank. Put the entire mortgage on it.
Okay.
The mortal.
I love Loyola Chicago.
Yeah. That's a good
one.
You do too?
Seniors who... Guards really can score.
Dude, that game is like a pick 'em almost.
Yeah.
They're like one point underdogs. Yeah.
Oh, okay, so that's not.
No, I mean that's that. Yeah, they're good.
What about as long as we're throwing miscellaneous? What about Michigan?
Is there
reason to hope there? I know you were recruited by Beeline, yes.
Oh yes.
And came as close as any other school.
I love John Beeline.
He's an amazing coach.
He's the man, and he's a fantastic coach. And same thing, like Beeline in March, you just can't pick against him. He's so good. And they looked incredible in the Big Ten tournament.
I meant to ask earlier quickly, do you think that screws you up, that them playing that tournament early? Or do you think they'll play one game and they'll get going?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's
never happened.
That was so weird.
It's unprecedented.
Wasn't it that Big Ten tournament here?
It's just they're doing anything they can to get the tournament in New York, the viewership. Yeah.
They think that more people watch on TV, more people must watch on TV just because it's here.
Yeah, and I think go to the games.
And attend.
Yeah, I think that...
Spreading the brand in the Big Ten.
It was very... I'm pretty sure it did very, very well.
It did well?
Yeah, ratings-wise.
The Minnesota Rutgers game we went to early round, not well attended, but maybe got better.
Yeah, that was desolate.
But it started... I mean, the first day of the tournament was like a February... I think it was February 28th. I can't remember like a big-time tournament starting.
I think the thought is that eventually... I don't like saying this because I played in the Big East, but eventually that the Big East won't be big enough to keep an MSG and
the Big Ten will be there.
And the Big Ten will be an MSG during the primetime week. And I don't know what the ACC, maybe they keep them at Barclays, but you know, especially even if you think about for New York, like having conference tournament week, having ACC and Big Ten in the city at the same time.
And they've gotten Duke, UNC and the semis back to back on Friday night.
Yeah,
which
it's
is
pretty cool.
Huge.
Yeah.
You see my pick with Dunleavy?
I did see your pick with Don Lee.
I forgot about that.
Did you like that?
I did. I see. He's
an attractive man, is he not?
You're both good looking.
He sure
Thank
is.
You.
but he was
better looking.
Yeah, I'm not. You know, I'm not running around taking pictures with every, you know, every celebrity I see in New York City.
Yeah, it's
Mike Dunleavy.
Do
you know, you see Mike Dunleavy.
Yeah, it's niche. It's niche.
It's kind of a different thing.
So here I'll give you my other upset pick. I love St. Bonaventures.
Tonight.
Bonnies.
They play tonight.
I love them to win, including tonight, 3 games.
This has already happened for your listeners, so you better hope that
the Bonnies have already
moved
on
UCLA.
To the 64.
I love the Bonnies.
The Bonnies could be out of the tournament by the time.
Senior guards in March. Tom Izzo in March. John Beilein in March. And because I said that about URI.
Come on.
I like him to beat Duke.
Yes.
Wow,
yes.
There it is.
There. Okay, so we have some mortal lock upsets. He didn't fix the NCAA, Chris, but he...
I think Chris is gone.
Chris, are you still there? Bloop.
He's gone.
Bloop. He's gone?
He's got the dog.
What, he left in the middle of an interview?
He
lives in the suburb. He's turning his generator on.
Well, it was lovely having you. Thanks for doing it.
Always a pleasure.
All right.
Can we watch the Hills now?
Yeah, Hills time.